I think half the audience will find you very amusing and good, and I think the other half are going to find you very annoying.
The Dori Monson Show on Cairo Radio.
All right.
This is The Big Lead.
Oh, there is something very, very, very stinky at the city of Seattle. We will get to that in just a moment here as we get rolling in The Big Lead. But we begin with another chance for you to win a pair of Seahawks tickets.
The Big Lead, Dori Monson Show exclusive.
Every show on Cairo, Morning News, Tom and Curly, my show, Ron and Don, giving away a pair of Seahawks tickets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So 12 chances for you to win. And for my show, today's pair of tickets, we're going to send you to the Kansas City Chiefs game on December 23rd. So that's going to be a great matchup, the Seahawks and the Chiefs. So if you want a chance to win, go to mynorthwest.com/win and enter my show's code word for today, linebacker. Okay? That's your code word for today, linebacker. Go to mynorthwest.com, the Dori Monson show pay. No, I'm sorry, mynorthwest.com/win. And then enter the code word linebacker, and you will have a chance to win a pair of Seahawks tickets against the Chiefs for December 23rd. And don't forget, Hawks home at CenturyLink Field for three exciting matchups still to come. This season, make your holiday shopping easier. Get your single-game tickets at Seahawks.com. Ron and Don will give you another chance to win, and then all of our shows tomorrow will give you a chance to win Seahawks tickets. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dori Monson Show exclusive.
Well, we mentioned this on yesterday's big show, and now we have one of the principals involved in this story. City of Seattle staffers, including many of Jenny Durkin's top staffs, the assistant mayors of Seattle, using private email accounts to do an end run in their quest to evade any public disclosure requests. Blatant violation of Washington's Public Records Act. Let me read it to you. Under the Washington Public Records Act, it requires public agencies, and I'm quoting now, to make available for public inspection and copying all public records. And this law applies to records created or stored on home computers or on other personal devices or from non-agency accounts. And what is quite obvious is that a lot of City of Seattle staffers have used private Gmail accounts that they hoped would not be subject to these public disclosure requests. And one of the people who is making these public disclosure requests is attorney Lincoln Beauregard, who joins me in studio. Lincoln, always good to see you, my friend.
Dori, thanks for having me on, sir.
Okay, tell me and my listeners why this is so significant, what you were able to discover about their end run.
Well, there's a twofold answer to that. One is the obvious answer that you've touched on, is that basically when the city uses resources to conduct its business, you have a right to know about that as a taxpayer.
Sure.
So when the Seattle Times and the great reporters over there go out and try and investigate this stuff and they don't get the Gmails, you don't know what your taxpayers are doing and who's influencing it. That's critically important. One thing that is a kind of the second fold answer to the question that you just asked, that, you know, I reviewed your coverage from yesterday and all the different materials about this, and I don't really personally agree that this is resignation worthy as far as using the Gmail. I could kind of see there being a mistake there. Personally, as a citizen and as somebody who is an advocate on this, I think that the thing that comes borderline worthy of resignation is they're lying to the public. Specifically, Jenny Durkin trotted out her spokesperson and told them in the news that these weren't official documents. So now it's not just a little mistake where you come out and apologize. It's lying to the public.
Yeah, and if I wasn't clear about that, because that was my thinking, too, why I think this is resignation stuff. And we've known this going all the way back to Watergate, and I'm sure long before that, that the initial offense usually isn't as big a deal as the cover-up, but there was such an obvious attempt on their part to try to cover this up. And this was specific to the head tax, a lot of these documents and communications, correct?
That's correct. And one thing that's really interesting is that who's puppeteering some of these policies is a man named Sandeep Kaishuk. He's a consultant.
Yeah.
And here's why that's relevant to the public. He's the man that helped engineer and puppeteer Ed Murray's run for office. And he actually is in the newspaper and reportedly knew about the sex abuse allegations long before they were ever uncovered, and helped design a spin for it, a spin that was used against me and my client, et cetera. So
right.
Here you have a private consultant who will put a pedophile in office, giving Jenny Durkin direct, basically marching orders and consultation on how to set city homelessness policy. And the public doesn't have any way to know about it. And so it's really critically important. People need to know who Jenny Durkin relies on to set homeless policy.
Yeah, in Sandeep, he's been a longtime Democrat, political operative, consultant around here. And then also involved are Durkin's top spokesperson, Stephanie Formas, deputy mayors Mike Fong, David Mosley, Shefali Ranganathan. And so they are communicating about things that we're supposed to be looped in on, because government is supposed to be transparent. And what I find ironic is these people are the ones who scream the loud. They didn't care when Hillary was using private email server. They go berserk when Ivanka Trump does. And we find out the people who are screaming the loudest about this locally are the biggest offenders. And their offense is greater than, you know, either Hillary or Ivanka, because we're talking about actually seated elected officials here.
Well, that's true. You can imagine the faces of Jenny Durkin and her staff, and Lorena Gonzalez, she does this a lot too. I gave you some of those emails.
Yeah.
You can imagine them recoiling when they're chanting lock them up at the Republican convention
right.
over emails.
Yeah.
You can just see their faces, but they're doing it themselves, and they're some of the worst offenders. And the thing that's, you know, offensive to me, again, like I say, as a transparency lawyer and part of what I do, is that you can see by the way in which they're doing this, it's not inadvertent, it's deliberate. And when they're caught, they're lying. And it's just, it's really offensive to me as a citizen.
And you mentioned earlier, great work by the Seattle Times. I want to echo that. Lewis Cam, one of the reporters who's been working on this at the Times, and I do think it's great work that they're doing. The other thing, if you look at that Time story that ran over the weekend, and I was going into the hyperlinks, you also see some of these corporations that have communications and have access to these public officials. There's communication with people from Comcast and from other major corporations that are being, you know, off the grid. And again, the collusion to try to invite corporate America into these supposed private governmental conversations so that none of us know what's going on. I think this is really dangerous stuff.
It is. One of the things that we got in relation to that inquiry was text messages with Jenny Durkin and a gentleman from Expedia thanking her for her position on the head tax. And, you know, those documents haven't gone public because they're not that interesting, but it's something the public has a right to see. If somebody in the public wants to know about Jenny Durkin's relation with Expedia relationship, they have a right to know about that. And it was basically hidden from people. One thing I should also clarify when I say that as a citizen and as a transparency advocate that upsets me is that it's important to point this out. The ongoing head tax litigation, I could tell they were hiding documents. I won't explain all the details, but as a litigator, I can tell when somebody's hiding documents.
Sure.
We went to court and said, Judge, they got to hand them all over. He ordered them to hand them over. And then later, a couple weeks later, after I'd already given those same documents to Seattle Times, they finally got them in a public records request. The point being is that I had to go in with litigation skills and catch them. And if somebody doesn't do that, they're never going to put this stuff out there. Nobody's going to know. And so it's really a problem. And, you know, I would like to see them. I'm a Democrat. I voted for Jenny Durkin even after she returned my campaign donation. I'm no longer really a supporter, but I'd like to see her as a leader if she wanted to ever earn my support back and maybe other people. Just say I made a mistake. Just say we won't use our Gmails anymore, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to send my spokesperson out to lie to
you. But it's not a mistake, though, Lincoln. I mean, mistake to me is something that's inadvertent, something that is not intentional and manipulated for a specific end. And I think it's tough for them to say we made a mistake when it was obviously such a calculated, coordinated mission to hide things from the public.
I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit, because there was some ambiguity about what's supposed to be public and private and campaign and whatnot during that whole process. This clearly was official business. But, you know, something else that goes to the counter of what I was just saying is, like, you know, other documents that haven't been focused on is Jenny Durkin. She uses Stephanie Formas. I have hundreds of these emails, and she has Stephanie Formas, her chief of staff or whatever her title is, repeatedly throughout the day Google her. She has a Google search terms. Right. We have them all now where it says Jenny Durkin of Seattle, Jenny Durkin. And she has Stephanie Formas in a private Gmail account, find news articles, maybe your show, maybe some of the other stuff, forwards it to her on private email using public resources. So in other words, the mayor of the city is so invested in finding out about the media coverage about her.
Right.
And she's willing to devote public resources to that and not tell you what she's reading.
And literally this happens several times every day.
There's so many emails, I haven't been able to go through them all. But what it looks like is that at least a couple times a day from the materials that I looked at, there's a search query, Jenny Durkin and different permutations of Jenny Durkin.
Yeah.
That Stephanie Formas, during work hours, in violation of the ethics codes, if they're saying that this isn't official, it's a violation. But
yeah.
Anyways,
right.
she has repeated search terms searching for Jenny Durkin media throughout the day using her official staff.
It's just weird.
And then forwards it to her private email so yeah. she can read, I guess, what we're saying about her on the radio.
Yeah. Well, and I know why she is so obsessed with the perception, because it's clear to me, and I said this about Inslee when he first ran for governor, and I've now been proven accurate on that. Inslee is ran for governor so he could use it as a stepping stone to be president, which is just delusional. But Jenny Durkin, she doesn't want to be mayor of Seattle. She wants to be either a U.S. senator or she wants to be the governor of the state. And so she's obsessed with her image in the media. So she has a six-figure paid staffer using a Gmail account to regularly track what's being said to her or about her, and then that's forwarded through another private Gmail account. And I mean, and you've handed me a huge stack, and you're telling me this is like 1% of what you have.
It's probably about 1%. I mean, I have a very busy, thriving personal injury practice.
Right.
I can't get through all the emails.
Right.
I wanted to give you examples. And literally, I went through so many permutations of search term Jenny Durkin, search term Jenny / Durkin, that I just got tired of looking at them all. And so you have some of them, and
yeah.
clearly, you know, the problem with that is that she's using government resources officially on private, in a private environment, and nobody has a right to know about that. I want to know that, you know, I pay a lot of taxes. I have a good going practice here. I want to know what percentage of my tax dollars are paying for Jenny Durkin to Google herself. I have a right to know that.
Well, and beyond that, the other story, you were so heavily involved with your clients in the Ed Murray story, but it still makes me sick to my stomach, Lincoln, that so many Jenny Durkin staffers and City of Seattle staffers making six figures were involved in the child rape enabling attitude in the city of Seattle. And the reason we had to pay off Jeff Simpson just last week, $75,000,
right.
was because Ed Murray, as mayor, stood up and, you know, tried to take apart you and your clients on Seattle Time. And so while he's living his $115,000 a year pension that he's going to get for the rest of his life, while he's vacationing in Paris last week,
the Eiffel Tower,
the taxpayers are forking out $75,000 to one of your clients because of the abuse of power. And the people who enabled this, you know, like Sally Bagshaw and the rest who were working feverishly to keep him in the mayor's office, they're still collecting their six-figure salaries, even though, I mean, they are clearly child rape enablers.
You know, they are, Dorian. I always try to make sure when I come on your show, I'm answering questions more than, you know, offering information. But I don't know if you saw the coverage and know that I'm going to depose in relation to this Ed Murray situation. Deposing Bruce Harrell, president of the city council, in the day. And I'm deposing him because this whole head tax lawsuit, the primary purpose for this lawsuit was also to go back about the Ed Murray stuff. They were having secret meetings to keep Ed Murray in office.
Mm-hmm.
And at 2 o'clock today, Bruce Harrell's going to have to answer to me why he's put in a signed sworn declaration saying that he didn't have a meeting with all of the other council members and announced that they were going to stay silent. And this is, I don't want to get too wonky on this. When I pulled up the video referencing this particular meeting, he says on the video he did. So, again, it's another little nuanced thing, but basically Bruce Harrell's got some questions to answer at 2 p.m. about that whole cover-up, and we're going to maybe be making some news about that pretty soon.
Well, I just I think things stink to high heaven in Seattle government. They have for a long time. I'm really grateful for, you know, what the Times has dug up, and I'm grateful for people like you, Lincoln, because, you know, one of the main missions of my show is to be a watchdog of government, and when, you know, a private citizen like yourself uncovers documents that show that they were trying to do an end around, that's stuff we have to know about, and it's stuff that the voters should not tolerate, and that's why I think Jenny Durkin should resign, because of how they lied about this when they were caught red-handed. They got a public disclosure request, a legally valid one, and they only sent the city of Seattle emails and thought they could get away with withholding all the Gmails, correct?
They did. And one thing to highlight on that story is that they said in writing to the Seattle Times, who is the main conduit to the citizenry as far as in writing and publications, they said that we'd already given you all the documents in August. They put it in writing.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And, you know, I'll say I appreciate the words you're about, you know, seeking transparency. I'll also say this is one of my favorite shows. I listen to it every chance I get, and I disagree with about 55% of what you say.
I know.
And I listen partially because I disagree.
I
want to hear a divergent view.
What that means to me, Lincoln, is that you're right about 45% of the time.
That might be right.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate you coming in, Lincoln.
You bet. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Attorney Lincoln Beauregard joining us. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us on the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. That's 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
Do you get a little nervous when, you know, Google was trying to manipulate the election because of the far left politics that pervades all aspects of the company? Apple CEO Tim Cook today said that he is going to make sure that they remove all hate from all of their social media and technology platforms. And he was talking about white supremacist hate, and I don't know anybody who would disagree with that. And it's a private company. They're certainly free to decide who they will or will not support.
At Apple, we believe that technology needs to have a clear point of view on this challenge. There is no time to get tied up in knots. That's why we only have one message for those who seek to push hate, division, and violence. You have no place on our platforms.
And the question a lot of people have been asking is, so if you're going to be the arbiter of, you know, what is hate and, you know, misogyny, somebody said, so are they going to go through all heavy metal and rap songs and see any that are disparaging and that say anything negative about any group? Or are they going to be very selective about who they allow to talk in a disparaging manner and who they do not? It'll be driven by political correctness, not by a desire to eliminate hate. And as we see leftist politics become all the more pervasive in all these Silicon Valley companies, it's really interesting to see the CEOs talk like they're some sort of moral arbiters. Meanwhile, they pay people 25 cents an hour to make their phones in foreign countries, something like that. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
That's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but not a lot of exaggeration. Give you another reminder of how to win Seahawk tickets and count down a great batch of awesome audio coming up next. It is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Our Awesome Audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. At number three, a young woman, she's a grad student at Harvard. She's from the South. They put roommates together for some of their graduate programs. And her roommates searched her stuff one day when she wasn't there found that she had a legally possessed handgun. They went to the landlord and said they're not comfortable living with somebody with a handgun. Layla Pierney is the young woman who explained how Ivy's roommates searched her stuff.
Number three.
Every time I want an answer, it's a different lie. But one comment that struck me was just, well, you're from the South. We saw you have this hat that we don't really care for. But, I mean, I have been given so many lies about reasons they might have been in there that I just don't even know.
And so they searched her stuff, said that she isn't welcome as a roommate, even though there's nothing illegal about her. She's got the permit for it. She says that she had a cop tell her roommates that it's legal and safe.
I just invited Captain Donovan over just so that he could tell my landlord everything is safe, everything is legal, there's no need to worry. And he did that, but despite all that, my landlord still said, despite the fact that this is legal and safe, it seems that people's feelings are hurt, so.
Feelings. Everything in life is about feeling. We can't hurt anybody's feelings. Speaking of guns, Whoopi Goldberg on The View, she refused to say the word gun. So she invented a new phrase this morning.
Number two.
I don't think treason is going to sit well with
we've seen it already.
No, we've heard people talk about it, but no one's been able to say, and here's where it is. And I think that's what people are waiting for. They're waiting for, here's the smoking. I don't want to say the word, but here's the smoking flute.
We'll get a little bit of a peek into.
She doesn't want to say the word gun, so she said smoking flute. So Meghan McCain called her out in the next segment.
The reason I didn't say gun was because Steve Scalise was coming on, and I didn't want anybody to misunderstand the joke. That's why I didn't do it, just so we're all clear. Sorry.
Well,
two days ago,
there was something brought up about guns that we said, oh, guns again. So, again, I don't know what the line is
today. This was just me trying to be thoughtful.
I'm very excited he's coming on.
She won't say gun on national TV. At number one, Donald Trump has been very kind. He's been very gracious to the Bush family since the passing of HW. So CNN made up imaginary thoughts for Donald Trump because they can't believe that he was being kind and civil.
Number one.
This is unbelievable.
No, he's not one to mend fences too readily. I think he's doing this because he feels he has to do it. And I'm also assuming that General Kelly has had a big hand in it. I do know from the Bush family that they are very appreciative and think the White House has just bent over backwards, gone to great lengths, been extraordinarily helpful. That said, I can't help but wonder if there was a thought bubble over Donald Trump's head just now, what he was thinking as he stood there.
I have to imagine he was thinking, how much longer do I have to stand here?
It's he had to be there. He did it. I think it's interesting he did it.
That's how evil and fake news CNN is. When the president is kind and gracious, they put imaginary thought bubbles that they come up with over his head. What an outfit that is. Today's Side is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day. All right. By the way, thanks to everybody who came on. We did have that heartbreaking story in the noon hour today. The father up in Marysville whose son took his own life a couple of months ago. And he just wanted to bring up important issues for parents and for school administrations. So we will have that available. We've gotten a lot of comments on it, and that family will absolutely remain in our prayers. So we'll have that on our podcast when we're done today. Thanks to Dave Wyman for coming on, to attorney Lincoln Beauregard. And we still have more to do with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's Sign the World is Soon Coming to an End. I really enjoy the a cappella choirs that a lot of colleges and universities have. I just think that that is such a wonderful, pure kind of music. At Princeton, they have a group called the Tiger Tones, because they are the Princeton Tigers. And one of the songs that's been part of the Tiger Tones repertoire for years and years is this one, Kiss the Girl, from the Disney hit Little Mermaid. But the campus newspaper, the Daily Princetonian, they are asking the Tiger Tones to please stop singing Kiss the Girl. They said that even when it's gently crooned by an animated crab, the song Kiss the Girl is more misogynistic and dismissive of consent than cute. By performing the song multiple times each semester, the Tiger Tones elevate it to an offensive and violating ritual. They said that the lyrics of Kiss the Girl raise serious issues. The original premise of the song from Little Mermaid is Prince Eric is on a date with the beautiful Ariel, and that he should kiss her without asking for a single word to affirm her consent. Despite the fact that an evil sea witch cursed Ariel's voice away, making verbal consent impossible, the song is clearly problematic, they write. And they said that when it moves away from the animated cushioning context of mermaids, magic, and PG ratings, the message is even more jarring. And so they are calling for a boycott of the Princetonians, or the Tiger Tones, whatever they're called, the Tiger Tones, if they keep singing Kiss the Girl. They're asking them to cease and desist immediately. It's kind of a crowd pleaser, though. It is so insane what people make up offense over. And it's totally made up. That is such a non-issue in any normal, healthy, emotionally healthy person's life. So they just make up outrage so that they can write stupid columns like that. Or like this. Sometimes the stupid outrage makes it into government. Lawmakers in Michigan are pushing for McDonald's and other fast food restaurants to stop offering gender-based toys with their Happy Meals. According to this law that they are introducing in the House of Representatives there, they want to make sure that they do not offer boy toys or girl toys on the grounds that such classifications limit children's imagination, and they say that such restrictions can prevent young girls from taking an interest in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, which is kind of an ironic allegation, since there is also a story in the news today that for the first time, more girls than men are enrolling in STEM programs in colleges and universities. But a Democrat in Michigan has 14 co-sponsors that is demanding that they stop offering the gender-based toys. They say this is a significant issue, as billions of these meals are sold every year, and this practice can influence and limit children's imaginations and interests by promoting some toys as only suitable for girls and other only for boys. Again, what a stupid, made-up issue. And they're actually taking time in the state House of Representatives there to demand the toys no longer be gender-based. Everything has to be gender-neutral because we don't have boys and girls. We just have one flowing. Everybody's the same. There are no differences. And speaking of stupid made-up things, finally in today's sign, do we have any songs by the band Covenant? Our final bit of made-up outrage is from Evergreen State College, the Nut House. You know, we're having trouble keeping Western State Hospital open. Maybe they should just combine Western State Hospital and Evergreen State College into one giant loony bin. Just to, you know, consolidate and save taxpayers money. Because the mental health inside both institutions is about the same. Western State's probably mentally healthier than Evergreen State. I've told you Evergreen State should not be a public university. We could save the taxpayers about $200 million every biennium by forcing it to be a private university. Here's what they're doing at that nut house, Evergreen State. They want to banish a word. You see, at the beginning of each semester, the professors and the students, they enter into a covenant in order to just explain what the expectations are and what the consequences are if you don't meet the expectations. But they have a vote scheduled for tomorrow at the faculty meeting to ban the word covenant at Evergreen State College. Here's the motion that's up for a vote tomorrow. Whereas the word covenant represents for many members of the Evergreen community the efforts at cultural genocide of Native nations through the federal Indian boarding school system, and whereas the word covenant is a term used in many official Evergreen documents, including the faculty handbook, whereas there exists adequate alternatives, such as community agreement, to the use of the word covenant, and whereas needlessly using a word that institutionalizes the devastating colonization of Native peoples is inconsistent with Evergreen's stated commitment to social justice, we move that the word covenant in the faculty handbook and other Evergreen official documents be replaced by the term community agreement. Oh, my goodness. We have just pure, unadulterated insanity. Can't sing Little Mermaid songs. Can't have boy toys and girl toys. We can't say a word because of made-up fictional outrage. All this truly is today's sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's big show. Have a great afternoon and evening. Ron and Don coming up next, and I'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon. And
I thought I'd cut out early, make this a long weekend.
It's Tuesday.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.